Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hi, my name is Brenda McCoy, also known as Lady Brenda, and you are listening to The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. I just want to mention before we get our show started that because of the recent storms on the East Coast, you know, we may be experiencing some technical difficulties in the chat room and in the calls coming in. So hang in there. We really, you know, want to hear from you, and we'd love you to join our chat. Okay. This evening, Lily Marie Amaru, inner child counselor and life coach, will be joining us to tell us all about healing your inner child. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-hosts. Maureen, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you so much, Miss Lady Brenda.
Wonderful. Tell us what you do. What's a little bit about your work?
Okay, well, I'm well versed in the tarot. I'm an empath, intuitive consultant, and my view is that the tarot is a symbolic record of human experience. And the reason why I say that is because of how I got into it was not because I wanted to. And I am very objective, and I help people help themselves as well. And I love my work, and I work at PsychicAccess.com as well, along with you people.
Well, we love your work, too.
Well, thank you.
And Steve, how are you doing this evening?
Very well, thank you, Brenda.
So tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, well, my name is Steve Frampton. I am also with Psychic Access, giving readings. I'm a psychic medium interested in all forms of metaphysics, particularly hermetic astrology.
And he's an excellent astrologer. I should have bought him some Starbucks because he predicted accurately the presidential outcome. I mean, I have to give you that, Steve. I just have to.
Thank you.
Okay, so Bobby, I know you're there too. We want to hear about you.
Yes, hello. Do you? I'm
yeah, what's going
medium.
On?
Okay. And I enjoy teaching other people how to do that and stay connected and kind of guide them through their life as well. Just very kind of just simply, you know, there's no magic tricks to all of this. Just kind of helping people on their own path. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bobby. And I can personally attest to it because I have, I've seen Bobby in action, actually. So I don't know if it's coming
please
out
explain,
the right way.
Please explain. But... quickly.
Not the kind of action you think I'm thinking about, okay?
And that video can be viewed at psychicaccess.com.
Oh my God.
I'm joking. I was going to say that will bring us some traffic. Lots
of
traffic.
Oh, yeah.
Steve's English is funny. England
the
people are funny. Say,
Bobby. Okay.
Goodness.
Well, tonight our guest, Lily Marie Amaru, has been on a journey of self-discovery for 30 years. And like many of us seekers, she went from one positive motivational speaker to the next with some success, but for some reason she always kind of came up short. And she went away from it feeling guilty that she hadn't done exactly what they'd suggested. And she thought, maybe, you know, it's me, I'm just not doing it right, I'm not getting the results I want. And she just didn't accomplish what she had wanted to do before. The one positive thing, though, that she did get from going to all these motivational speakers and authors and people in the metaphysical realms is she did start to journal. And she started journaling affirmations. And these affirmations that she would write down and she would read to them, and it led and she would read them. And this led her to listen to her own affirmations and to, you know, get from that they came from her inner spirit, from spirit, and that these were messages from her inner child. Lily Marie started out on a spiritual journey to discover what role in her life the inner child played, how past hurts from childhood affected the role of codependency in her life now. This led her to her training as an inner child counselor and life coach, where she feels she needs to be to help others who struggle with their own pain and disappointments from the past. To find out more about Lily Marie, you can contact her at innerchild13, that's with one N, at yahoo.com. Okay, good evening, Lily Marie.
Good evening, Brenda. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I'm so glad to have you on the show, because I know this is just going to be very enlightening for everybody who's listening. I mean, this is stuff sometimes I think that people don't want to know, but they really do want to know, you know?
Yes.
Okay, first let's start, for those of you out there and those of us that don't really know what the definition of the inner child is.
Well, it's that reactive little person that is handling our adult lives right now. And if you find yourself reacting to things, that's usually the inner child. And it's the wounded, shameful part of us who grew up in homes where the parents were also wounded, and we just perpetuate that until we, at one time, so at some point, say, I'm done. I want a different kind of life. And I came to a point in my life where I was so miserable that I started this journey. And my whole goal was that I didn't want to come back again. That's how miserable I was. I didn't want to do anything with the universe again. So that pushed me to start this journey. And it seems as though the inner child is the part of us that is the most important to heal.
And so do you feel that the inner child is part of our spiritual, physical, and emotional development from an early age?
Absolutely. For myself, it was probably before I was born, because I was conceived out of wedlock. But we grow up in a home that has alcoholics, has people who have been wounded before also, and we just carry those wounds on. And sometime in my late teens, early 20s, I decided that I wasn't going to be my mother's mother. So I didn't want to be like her, and so therefore I made those choices then. And it took me a while to get to the point where I was quiet enough to realize how miserable I really was.
You know, a lot of people have said, you know, they go around and they carry this feeling of guilt, you know, and they don't know even where it's coming from, this feeling of guilt. I mean, it's like so ingrained in them, perhaps from such an early age. What do you think about that?
Well, it absolutely is. We're raised feeling guilty because we don't do it right. I can say that if I went back and said, okay, this is how my father thought about me, or my stepfather, he would have said, you're too loud, you walk too loud. Everything I did was wrong. And so why wouldn't we feel guilty? You know, we look at our lives, so much of it, we were trying to appease the parent, but the parent wasn't feeding us what we really truly needed, and that was love.
Or it was a kind of a conditional love, right?
Yeah, if we did it right, then it was okay, but otherwise it wasn't. And we aren't here to do it right. You know, life isn't black and white, it's gray.
Now, isn't that the truth? Even there are people who like to put it in black and white terms because it makes them feel like they have perhaps some sort of control over the situation. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, very much so. And they think they're controlling their life, too, but what's happening is that their life is controlling them. That little child reacts out of those past shame and wounds, and it happens in relationships, it happens driving down the road, it happens wherever. But eventually, if you are on a journey where you want to heal, the optimum is to go back to that little inner child and that and have compassion and love, and then our love grows for ourselves with that healing.
That's very interesting. Now you talked a little bit about in your bio about journaling. Does journaling put you in touch with your inner child at all?
Well, I believe it has, but I started journaling a long time ago, and I really believe that what happens is we have all this chatter going on in our heads, and most of it is the critical parent. We're shaming ourselves, we didn't do it right, blah, 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 blah. And so I believe that as we journal, that energy and those words go down our arm and onto paper, and then it's out of our head, and we stop obsessing about whatever we're obsessing about. And sometimes I've been found to journal over and over and over again about the same thing until I've dissipated that energy within myself.
That's
but I do other things. Many people don't like to journal. They're afraid somebody's going to find their journal or whatever. If they want a journal, they can burn it. I've saved all my journals because I wanted my granddaughter to write my story. But anyway, there's another method. You can go find a quiet room or a quiet area or where there's no people around, and you can just talk. That also helps to dissipate the energy. And recently, one time, I decided that talk, I was going to do a movie. So hiring the actors and everything. So I was playing with that obsessive voice in my head.
So you played it all out like it was some kind of play or movie or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
I was writing a script for a movie.
It'd be interesting to find out what everybody's movie would be, and you know what the deepest, darkest things, especially involving the inner child, huh? That's fascinating. Could be kind of scary too,
huh?
Yeah, it
is. And again, I feel that people have to do it in the best way they can. And if they're quiet and listen, their spirit will tell them. If they just have to get connected to that spirit and have a belief that there is a spirit within them. Really, we're all spiritual beings having a human experience.
Isn't that the truth? And you know, if I feel that there's some sort of comfort in that, it makes us almost feel like we're not alone in the world, you know, and in nature. You know, and I've noticed myself, I don't really journal. I do write though. But a lot of my internal things come through that. So I can see how putting stuff on paper, it's a great release too, isn't it? Healing.
Yes, absolutely. And there's all different kinds of ways to do it. There's, you can do deep breathing and that brings up stuff. You can left hand, right hand, right. You can make your inner child the left hand. If your dominant hand is right, and if it's not, use the opposite hand. There's all kinds of ways to get to the answers. Recently, I had a situation in my life where somebody had triggered me, and that's what happens. We get triggered, and we either react out of that or we respond. Well, the hope is we get healthy enough that we can respond. But I was reacting out of being ignored, and I stopped and I said, "How old am I?" And the answer came, "Baby." And when I was born, my mother was not married, and that was very shameful. We were Catholic, and she still is. She was sent off to an unwed mother's home. I was left there for 18 months, and I suspect that I felt ignored, and that really brought me to my initial anger, which is, we all have a lot of anger, and that was so healing for me to know. And then I conversed with that baby, and as I went to bed a couple nights later, that little girl came running up into my arms, and that's the goal, is to nurture our child. Because
your inner
wounded.
Child.
Yeah, our inner child. It's wounded.
So that is very interesting. So you were having this reaction, and then you decided to just, you know, put it out there to spirit. What age am I? And it was interesting that it came to you. Did it come to you almost like, was it a voice in your head? Is it something you saw, or you just knew?
For me, it's a voice, but everybody has their own journey. You know, we all have our own road. So it may have come to somebody else if they were journaling or whatever. I tend to, my word actually has been since 2002 to listen. And so therefore I do. I listen to what that inner voice tells me. And, tried to stop having the critical parent me, like telling me I'm stupid and I'm dumb. And I stopped doing those things many years ago, some with affirmations, some just saying, you know, time out, I'm not going to listen to the fact that you think I'm dumb, because I'm not. Mm-hmm. None of us are, and certainly we're not stupid. But so I started to listen a long time ago, actually probably long before I ever started what I initially call this journey. Mm-hmm. I believe our parents are who we chose so that we come here for this life experience. And I couldn't hardly fault them because I chose them. But
consensus. Yes.
And I can choose what goes on in my brain. One day I was thinking about all the chatter in my brain, and I'm driving the car, and I'm thinking, you know, it's like the electrical wiring in your house, and you've got this thing that keeps plugging itself in. Well, just unplug it. You can stop telling yourself you're stupid. You can stop those things. You can possibly correct the critical parent, but you have to be in charge.
Mm-hmm.
The critical parent isn't anymore.
That makes a lot of sense. And what role does codependence? And you know, the reason why I bring out codependence is because, you know, us as psychics, we deal with, we talk to a lot of people, and a lot of them are involved in some sort of codependence. What role does codependence play in inner child healing?
Well, we are all codependent because we don't love ourselves. Codependence, as I've been reading from my mentor, Robert Burney, is a lot of different things. But I kind of tag into there that we really don't love ourselves. We've never been taught to love ourselves, so we search for things outside of ourselves to fill us up. And if we learn to love ourselves, it really is amazing. You know, the first commandment is love ourselves, love one another as we love ourselves. The challenge is that most people don't know how to love themselves, so therefore they're not able to love anybody else. And it really is about us, ourselves, what we do. I know when I realized when I was getting better, I could laugh out loud and I was by myself. There was something funny. I thought of something funny. I love this work because I have become the person, that spiritual being. I've become that spiritual being living a human existence rather than being a human being looking for spirituality.
That is such, I love the way you put that. That is, you know, and it's, something that I think people should really think about, because the body is just a shell. This meat body that we have is just a shell, and it'll be gone. It'll be dust. It's our spirit that continues on. Do you believe that perhaps these, in, you know, because I believe in reincarnation, and if we don't deal with a lot of these inner child things, don't you think that they will be passed on in the next life to come, or it has? Do you believe that this is that past lives play a role in this as well, or is it just the most immediate family thing for the inner child? What's your thought on that?
I think that, yeah, past lives do play a role. Again, I had a mentor who believed, and I follow this belief, that we chose our parents and that we only bring back the unhealed parts of the past lives, and we're dealing with those pieces this time. And if we don't, and that's why I decided, I'm not coming back. I'm going to fix it this time because I don't.
No more coming back for Lily, huh?
So yes, I do believe that. I think that you're absolutely right. We do bring this stuff forward, and we have a choice this time. If we're aware, and if we accept, and we take action, we can change our lives. I know I've done it.
It takes a lot of determination, and you really need to want to work on it. It feels like it's something that is genuinely work, you know. So do you believe that inner child therapy can help anybody, just about anybody out there? It sounds like it. Sounds like everybody's got issues.
Yeah, even the happiest kids have issues. And adults have issues. And yes, I think that if we're willing and capable of making that choice to work on the inner child, we can. Some are going to go through it less painfully than others. But the other side, it's like years ago someone said, you know, you have to go through it to get to the other side, and I could never understand that. And now that I've been through some of it, and it comes off in layers like an onion. We can't go to the core issue immediately because we'd all be in little padded rooms somewhere. But if we can get to the core, like I got to the core of my baby, and that anger, I've gotten to the bottom of some of my other anger issues with men through this process. We can either stay in the pain of living in pain, or we can go through the pain to get to the other side. The pain to go through the other side takes a lot less time than living day in and day out with the little child that's unhappy.
And some people, too, doesn't that child become familiar, and it's almost like a form of codependence within itself?
Yes, yes. We pick out people who feel familiar to us, lovers, spouses, girlfriends, whatever, boyfriends. We pick them out because they're comfortable. When we find somebody that's uncomfortable, we're going to run. But the comfortable people are who our parents were. They are that critical parent because that's comfortable for us. And that's okay, but whoever we pick out needs to be on our same journey. If I have a man in my life, he needs to be on a recovery journey also. And our friends need to be on a recovery journey because normally when we start recovering, we will choose different friends because not everyone belongs in our front row. And sometimes they have to take a back row to our lives.
That makes a lot of sense. It's like it has to, then you have nothing, you cannot relate anymore to what's going on with them if you're progressing to a certain point.
True. Yes.
And that's probably why they say, oh, you know, you're going to pick someone like your father, or your mother's going to pick someone like, or your son will pick someone like his mother, stuff like that. That makes a lot of sense, although it's probably not necessarily happy. I mean, healthy.
It isn't happy or healthy, and I tend to believe that, but I also tend to believe that, like, I've been married a couple times, and my first husband was very stable, very unlike my family at all, but I had two beautiful children to bring into this world, so, and I had things to learn from him. I think we journey through life, and people come into our lives, and we learn from them. Bill taught me many things, and again, he gave me two beautiful children, so I can't hardly knock that one. So, and he wasn't in a family like I was raised in. He was in a different kind, in a different codependent kind of situation, and he had his own inner child to deal with. But at the end of our relationship, because nothing's happily ever after, I realized that I couldn't stay there only because I needed to grow, and there wasn't any growth room in that relationship.
Mm-hmm. So would you think that getting to know our, like, say you find, when you find yourself single and you want to get into another relationship, a meaningful relationship, a stable relationship, that it would behoove you, or it would be something healthy for you to get in touch with that inner child so that you know what type of person you'd want to attract to yourself?
Well, I think that's a good theory, but I have a feeling that spirit brings us who we need to learn by.
So it's probably a little bit spirit of this and a little bit of that, right?
Yes. And actually, I am in a relationship right now, and that's the person that picks the triggers. And in the time that I've had this relationship, I have grown and learned about myself. And, of course, everything's timing to me. So this person was brought at the right time because I was ready. And it may not be a happily ever after relationship, but it's a relationship that has made me aware of more of who I really am. And if that's what it's about, that person will forever be in my heart.
That's a very significant gift. It really is. It really is, because I believe there's a lot of people don't even, they go through their whole life not knowing who they really are.
Yeah, that's true.
And they may even go to their, wherever they go, to their next life, the grave or whatever, not knowing who they really are. So they sometimes don't want to face it, I believe. So in your work as a life coach, do you find it's necessary, like, you know, when you're talking to people and stuff, I know you talked about journaling being part of it and, you know, helping them get in touch with their inner child. Are there any special meditations? Are there any tools that you give them beyond that?
You know, I don't tend to meditate because somebody that I was studying with one time told me that we don't have to sit to meditate. If we're just, things will come to us. Usually when I'm in the middle of stripping a table or doing something else, if I'm listening, I get messages. So I don't necessarily think that sitting and meditating is the thing to do. I will listen to someone and listen for what their triggers might be, and I really do guide people to do what feels comfortable for them and go outside your box, because inside the box, for some people, the box just gets smaller, but we need to make our box bigger than we are. And there's times when I have to go outside my box to do things like writing a script for a play. That's never been in my box before, but it just seemed like fun, and I thought, okay, this might work, and it did. And after I had that evening with myself writing that script, do you know, I don't really remember what I talked about or the script. It was just there, but it emoted in an energetic way stuff out of that chatter that goes on in my head or in our heads most often. I can tell you that I have quiet time now. That's amazing. And
that is
amazing. That quiet time's in my head.
I notice I've always enjoyed, over the years, you always send out these really great messages in these newsletters. And, you know, they all have to do with connecting with nature and the symbols that you see in nature. And did a lot of that when you take your walks and you see all these symbols and these animals and stuff. Is that a lot of that giving you a connection to spirit, do you think?
You know, I was like that as a child. That was, as I look back at my childhood, I think that those things were what saved me from going from drinking or doing whatever some children do. I feel like I've always had a connection. As a little girl, and I listened in Sunday school, and we were all sitting out underneath this tree, and the teacher was saying, you know, the trees are connected, and God's in the trees, and God's in the grass. And I'm thinking, why isn't she telling us that God's in us? We are God. We are spirit, spiritual beings having a human experience. So that, I guess maybe I just came here like that, and I do. I love the sunsets. As you said, my newsletters are always very informative and tend to be towards nature. I live in the mountains, so that gives me an extra special little piece of getting in touch with the animals and the birds. And I think that I've just always been connected, but we can get connected. I watch people and I look at a sunset and I'm thinking, I wonder how many people out there are looking at this beautiful sunset. Or if they walk on the beach, what do they see? They need to ask themselves that. They need to detach from their daily, everyday humdrum and pay attention to the flowers and pay attention to the clouds. I have found some of the most amazing things in clouds. And we just really do have to detach from this this chatter in our head to get better.
Mundane world and all this stuff that's going on in the mundane world. Now, we're going to pause for a couple minutes here and for a commercial, okay?
Okay.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
Okay, so, Lily, I know that you had mentioned, and I know you've been working on this for a while, tell us a little bit about what to expect in your upcoming book that you're working on now. Is it going to be on the inner child? Is it more of a life coaching thing, or is it just a sum of a lot of your experiences, or is it all the whole ball of wax?
Well, you've been bugging me about this for about 10 years, Brenda. I did write a book, but it wasn't the one you were happy with. So anyway, I have to go start over.
What happened to that one?
Say what?
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Well, actually, those journals that I've been keeping for so many years, actually, mm-hmm. I journaled as a child, but those got given away, done whatever they did when I grew up and went away from home. But I have always felt and have been told that I needed to write my story. So actually it is going to be about my story. And the last piece of my story came about because I felt I was being ignored and went to that baby. And I think now the pieces are in place because I have connected with that baby and I can nurture her and take care of her. And so my story is going to be about me and my story. And I'm going to bring up the things that have happened to me. I'm a survivor of many, many things, and I want to put those put that in writing. And I did start it after we talked last week, I want you to know.
And oh, good.
It is another piece of it came today. The place where I was born, I found online, and it is still an active community. And I am, I got the information today, so I'll be able to fill in the holes, because my mother was not very forthcoming with anything. And of course, that again, you think about the years ago that she got pregnant, and it was unacceptable to be pregnant out of wedlock 70 years ago. And so she was shamed. I have carried that shame with me. And she left me because my grandparents wanted to adopt me, and my mother wouldn't let them because she felt she had had such a bad childhood. And so I had to connect with that baby, I feel, before I was capable of writing my story. And so I think we can get it down on paper, and I'm expecting it in the next 5 or 6 months to just kind of
Yay!
Unfold itself.
That sounds good. So, tell
Thank
us a
you,
little
Brenda.
Bit about, pardon me? I know, finally. Tell us a
I
little
know.
Bit about your practice now, and how do, you know, when you meet with a person, do you, what is the first thing when you start counseling them that you ask them to do? Do you ask them to write down some things, like perhaps some of their pain that they felt from the past? Or is it just kind of you talk to them like we do as psychics?
Probably very much like psychics work. Actually, I let them tell me what is going on at that time, because, you know, they need to direct their own life. I can help, but they need to be the director. They need to be observing themselves. They need to get in there and go, when they're reacting to something, they need to go, oh, could I have handled this differently? Not that they're wrong in handling it the way they are handling it, because that's the way they were taught to handle it. We have a universe of unhealthy human beings. Our inner child is running the universe. Is that not exciting?
That almost reminds me of Chucky, no?
I don't know who Chucky is, but whatever.
You know that little doll in the horror films?
Oh, Chucky. What I do want to mention at this point is that my my email is myminerchild 13 at yahoo.com. You had it all right except the my part. They'll never get through to me otherwise.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, and then people can feel free to, you know, they've got questions to email you, and I'm sure you're going to be getting a lot of questions about this.
Yes, and we can set up sessions and do that kind of thing. And mostly my sessions will be done on the phone because, as you told me earlier, this goes out to everybody in the world. So
that's right. There's people that are listening to this. We have a global show here. So anyhow, I wanted to find out if you had an inspirational message for our audience, if there was something special you wanted to tell them, especially about what's happening now in the world and what it kind of relates to as far as, like, you know, everybody's, you know, the inner child work and stuff. Like, because there's so much crisis now in the world, like with these natural disasters and the economy and all this kind of stuff. Do you have an inspirational message that you would like to share?
Well, we actually all have started on this journey, and it's easier now, and more of us are doing it because of the Aquarian age. But, and of course, we all know about December 21st and the world's going to end and blah, 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 and I kind of giggle at that. But what my belief is that the 21st of December, the consciousness of the people are going to change. That's really the change. I doubt that the world's going to end. And if it does, then I'm done.
You've already... We won't have any choice at that point.
If I'm not done, I can continue this journey. And I would say that the most important thing that anybody can do for themselves, and that's to go back and work with the inner child, that will bring true love to yourself. And that's what we're working for, is to love ourselves.
Well, if we can't love ourselves, then we're not able to attract love to ourselves. To ourselves, like romantic love or any other kind of love. Don't you agree?
That's what they keep telling me. I thought I was in love several times, so I can't tell you whether that's true or not. But I've certainly I've had nice relationships. Again, like I said, the fact that happily ever after is a fairy tale, and I see people living together and being partners for 60 years, and I admire that they've been able to deal with each other, but that's their lesson. My lesson was to be married a couple times, and to have these two different people in my life that gave me different gifts. And that's really how I live my life. No matter how bad it is, there's a gift. Mm-hmm. Somewhere there is a gift in what is going on. And if we look for the gift, you know, we can, it's like some people say, oh, look for the silver lining. I look for the gift. Sometimes I have to really, it's the bow's tied pretty tight, but other than that.
You have to really struggle to get it open, right?
Yes, yes, yes. But you know, Pandora's box, the bottom of Pandora's box, because my mother said, I named a cat Pandora one time, and my mother was having a fit. And I said to her, because she says, oh, you just opened Pandora's box. And yes, we do, almost a daily basis. But at the bottom of Pandora's box is hope.
I had forgotten that whole story about Pandora's box, but that's, I'm glad you brought that up. Well, there's especially in the area of relationships, because we as psychics and on Psychic Access, you know, I would have to say, and it doesn't matter the state of the economy or what else is going on, the larger percentage of things that people want to know about, issues that people want to know about, are personal relationships and love. You know, so that, you know, doesn't that tell you a lot about really where everybody really wants to be? They want to be loved, or they want love in their life, no matter who they are.
Well, most of us are dealing with abandonment issues. And so we're looking, and again, we're looking from without to find love that we don't have for ourselves.
Yeah, and the whole obsession and picking mm-hmm. people who aren't, and picking people who are just so far disconnected.
Yep, but that helps us to connect with ourselves.
Pardon me? What?
I said that can help us to connect with ourselves, because when they're not connected, we can watch for, because they're going to trigger us in something. Like this person who was at the time ignoring me. That connected with me and my baby, and nobody in the years that I've been dating and been married did anybody connect with that baby except this person.
And so the triggers could, like, really make you angry. I mean, they could,
it could
be something pretty intense, like, you know, like you said, abandonment, or well, abandonment's huge. Being ignored.
Mm-hmm. Number one.
Loss. We have an awful lot of people, well, when are they, why aren't they calling me back? Or are they ever gonna, are we, am I ever gonna hear from this person again? And it just, that is just, it's almost like a loop that just gets played over and over again.
And that's when, for myself, I just have to give it to spirit and surrender it. And when those loops come back into my head, then I ask spirit to take charge and direct both of us to our highest and best in this relationship. Because maybe that person isn't supposed to be here for anything more than to evoke a change in us and a change in our thought pattern. But handing it over to our higher power or spirit or whatever it works that works for other people is what they need to do. I hand it over to spirit. When I finally get to the point where I'm on my knees and hitting my head against the floor, which I don't do physically, but nonetheless, that's a good visual. We need to hand it over. We need to surrender it because there is a higher power out there for everyone. And I would suggest that many people look into the 12-step program. Again, Robert Burney is on the internet, and his information is marvelous. And he talks a lot about codependency and inner child. And
And he's your mentor, right?
he is my mentor. Yes, he is. And he does have workshops, and who knows, I may be on that journey also. I don't know. I don't know where this is going. I am very pleased and grateful that you have me as a person to interview this evening,
Well, you're my
because it
special guest, and we haven't had anything like this. And I think with so many things going on these days, I was fascinated by, the thought of, because you and I talked about the whole, I had never thought in myself personally about things that were happening in my life, if the inner child could be responsible for that. But it makes complete sense, and that these triggers could be right at that point that you could say, okay, how old am I? Or is this my inner child? And from what I'm getting from this is that's when you would ask that question, right?
Yes, and also it could be that something else happened later in your years, and it kept perpetuating itself, and it kept happening over and over and over again. And I think anything repetitive gets into our system and doesn't want to go away until we learn what that plug is, till we learn what the trigger is, till we can unplug that and move forward. And we really do need to do the work. It's and they call it work. It's just like a relationship. A relationship's work. It's because we have to put some effort into it.
Right, you can't just float around, because if you do float around, it does get, it keeps hitting you on the back of the head. Hello, I'm not going away. I'm not going away. I'm not going away till you deal with it.
Yep.
So,
My first therapist said to me, she says, if it happens once, you might ignore it. And if it happens the second time, you may ignore it again. When it happens the third time, you better be paying attention. So I have tried in my life to, since I've had my first therapist, to look at it when it happens the second time. Now, sometimes it goes on to that 10th time, but.
Oh
I do at some point recognize it. But again, I still believe it's back to the same old thing. It's timing, it's where our astrological chart is. I think that we're made up of many things, not just our childhood, not just our astrological chart. Things affect us and all of us different. And it's how we react or respond to those things that makes a difference in our life also.
Well, it in responding to them, I guess there's always a wrong way and the right way of doing it. It's just getting to that point to recognize what's going to make you grow, and recognize what's triggering it, right?
Yes, but I have a little something I want to read you. It says here, love imperfectly. Keep prize close at hand. Make lots of mistakes. Be willing to live in between right and wrong. Nothing's right and nothing's wrong. It's what we're doing. If we're doing something, we're doing something. We can't judge ourselves. That's the problem, is our parents judged us. They compared us. We learn to compare ourselves with whomever. And then we try and either be that person, or we tell ourselves we're not good enough to be that person. We could never do this. You know, it's on and on and on. So we're judging ourselves. We're letting the critical parent judge us. We need to deal with the critical parent and quiet it down. And one, start healing our wounded self, and be nice to us. We need to love us.
Well, that's an absolute truth, and that is for sure. And I'm glad that we're bringing up a lot of this stuff, and the whole thing, especially with the journaling, which I feel is something I always recommend that to my clients as well, is, you know, you write it down, you know, it's you'd be surprised what comes through. I suppose even in writing your journal, you could even write some of the experiences that you'd had that you probably even forgot when you were a child. You know, I bet a lot of that stuff comes through. You probably, just like a psychic reading, sometimes don't even remember what you put down because it comes from spirit, and that's the way it happens sometimes. Isn't that, don't you believe that?
Absolutely. I was writing the other night because, again, something else got triggered, and I was writing the other night about how my mother must have felt in the experience that I was having. And sometimes we have an experience to go to act on what's happening so that we can dissipate their shame, their inadequacy of handling a situation. And we have to go through that and recognize they were in pain and we're in pain. And I'm sitting here journaling the other night, and after I got done, it was like such a relief to let that go. And yes, I do write a lot about my memories and what comes up, and because those are valid things in our lives that we live with on a daily basis. And some of us, that's where we're stuck.
That's where the loop comes in. You keep looping back and forth and back and forth and back and forth.
Yep. Well, until we can let it go.
Right. Lily Marie, thank you for joining us tonight. We really appreciate your work and your fascinating insights about healing the inner child. I want you to have a great evening. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brenda. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, you can find out more information about Lily Marie Amaru by emailing her at myinnerchild13@yahoo.com, and it's inner child with one N. I'd like to take a moment right now to make a few announcements. Be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, not now, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you are unable to catch our last week's show, you know, I'm trying to remember.
Deliberate law of
attraction. Deliberately. You know what? And it was interesting. I was going to say law of attraction, because you know what? It really kind of dovetailed into this in a way. Isn't it funny
it
how
is.
Those shows do that? It's happened more than one time. You'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate these archive links and future show details to your friends and family. It's our objective here on Psychic Access to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. Also, be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. If you're interested in a reading from some of the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, and each one of them has their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile so that you can find out more about them and so that you can choose from a list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics around. It's an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each of us psychics. All of the co-hosts here on Psychic Access, talkradio.com, work at Psychic Access. And if you would like a personal reading from any of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. And by the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. For more details, visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. If you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the psychic viewpoint. There is something for everybody. So please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. Okay, the call-in number, and this is for later, a little bit later, the call-in number for the readings is 724-444-4851. Okay, now we've come to the fun part. Well, one of the fun parts. There's many fun parts of the show, and that is our banter. So, Maureen, you're first. I know you were just, like, dying to talk about some of this stuff.
Yes, and I think a lot of people, you're not in there, Brenda, but a lot of people, everybody can relate, I'm pretty sure.
Trust me, I can.
You know, we all have things, and some of us have had more to those out there, I'm not dismissing it. For me, this is something that I've been living by all my life. But, you know, what's interesting is that, you know, I've just spoken about my father and about how much I really, you know, was connected to my father. But he was an alcoholic. And I don't think he is up in heaven. Well, maybe he is. I don't know. But he was not a beating me up. He didn't beat, you know, it wasn't like that. He was your businessman flying all over the world type. You know, I don't know what you want to call it, but he was an alcoholic. So I was raised in an alcoholic family with the material was high living, I guess. So people ignored things that were going around. So I started on this quest, and she was talking about, you know, you become an adult, and I'm still having issues with this, and I still go into therapy for this. I mean, I'm letting everybody know my story. But what I got into adult child of alcoholism later on when I was in my late 20s, and it started to get on my nerves. I mean, I went, and then I had enough. It was draining. So then from there, I would try other things, and I noticed the tapey loops. You're talking about the looping, mm-hmm. the tapes. But I ran into, my older sister turned me on to a woman called Dr. Clarice Piccoli Estes. She's a fantastic, she's a union psychotherapist and a folklore storyteller. And my sister got me these time audio tapes, and one was called Warming the Stone Child. And it was, I still hear it constantly. And it's so beautiful. What it's about, and this I could identify with, is called when people, you know, have been raised like a lot of us have. And like I said, some are more intense, but you go through a collapsing feeling. It's like a collapsing. So instead of being an adult, like as an adult, sometimes, you know, instead of feeling like an adult, you start reacting from the horrors of the past, what you've, you know, name calling or whatever that went on. Now, again, some of us have gone through worse than that. So I don't want to diminish that, but you can't, you know, you can go back and keep and remember all the name calling, all the bad stuff that was going on, but that's not going to help. That's why adult children of alcoholics, at one point I stopped doing it because it was ongoing and talking ongoing about what, you know. So what I found out with listening to these Dr. Clarice Piccoli Estes was that it was about archetypes, and she would explain through storytelling. And it was about going, the only thing that's really going to help is to create or to bring about, born into an internal mother. So if your external mother had failed you, and you know, sometimes it's not about abuse, it could be neglect, it could be, for me it was, you know, I was weird, I was crazy, all the you know, whatever. But what happens is there's always a little flame in a child, you know, like we have a little flame, and even if the wood has been burnt out, there's still a little ember, you know how there's, mm-hmm. and you need to fan that. So when we get going, so the bottom line is what I found, that I started doing some more work on it, that was the main thing about it. But in order to do the internal mother, and again, this is not like like an external mother. You know, you don't need to find some mother on the outside. It's within yourself. There's like a psychic secret to it, and it's real simple. In order to do that, you've got to be good and decent to yourself. And she spoke about that. You're
loving, you know, yourself, yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, I found also that by all this, a lot of the times you can spot people out like this, the gifts of the unmothered child. And like, again, I'm not saying like my mother wasn't, my mother didn't beat me or anything either, but she was not available either. You know what I mean? She was not available. There's too many kids. But the bottom line is, the fact of it is, it's almost like you have to, most of everybody that shares this anyway, and I think everybody in the chat room might relate to this as well, Brenda, as us host, is that in order to get that in, to, you know, born or bring about an internal mother, most people that have done this, and you can always tell the gifts of the unmothered child is either be healers or artists, psychics, whatever. They all have a lot of one thing in common. One really main thing in common is intuition, extreme, intense intuition, because they're almost like they always have been controlling the environment. They had to. And actually, later on, you can become a nice control freak for that reason. I mean, I mean?
Oh, me? No.
So I walk around, I'm always laughing about when I'm talking to people. I say, I'm sorry, 20 times a day. I'm sorry. And then you know there's somebody that's had some issues growing up. When they keep saying they're sorry for everything in the world, it's not even having to do with them. I'm always saying, well, it's always about me. I laugh at myself because I understand what my issue is. I'm sorry for everything. Oh, my God. Enough. So she's talking about the work. I'm just saying, I still listen to these tapes, and they're healing. They're through archetype storytelling, but they're very meaningful for me anyway. So they've helped me quite a bit. I could relate. I loved your guest, the subject topic.
You know, it brought up a lot of stuff in my own life that, you know, as a Capricorn, I'm a stuffer. I when it comes to an emotional thing, I will put it away, squash it down, put it in a compartment, and forget about it. But when we start talking about that kind of stuff, I can see, you know, certain areas and why things have happened in my life, you know, because of then I've chosen to not deal with it or to stuff it away or ignore it. But I can see how it leads back to the whole child thing.
Yeah, and then we can raise our children. You know, the thing I did right. I mean, I wasn't the best mother of the year, but yeah, I was pretty close. But I made sure that I did not pass on this stuff to my daughter.
That's right. And you become, sometimes you do the reverse. Sometimes, but a lot of times, a lot of the stuff comes up, and you end up going. You find yourself going, "Oh my God, I'm my mother. I got to stop."
It's a mess. And you know what? That's why I was really glad. And I was persecuted for that one, taking my daughter to counseling for years. And it wasn't because she was – it was because I didn't want to keep the cycle. I didn't want to pass it on to her. And
that
we
was
do,
very smart. Very
yes,
smart.
I was told I was an idiot, but and they wanted to take her. But you know, the thing of it was, she's a very – she's not unlike me. She's very stable. She's very – she was a kid. And when she's growing up, she didn't have any concerns about that were adult things, which she shouldn't. You know, only business she had was being a kid when she was a kid. And I told her, you know, so it has, you have to be open for the work. Like she says, this work and it's humbling and it's hard. But so there you have it. Thank you, Brenda.
Thank you, Maureen. What about you, Steve? What's your thought on some of this? Does this kind of do you ever enter into any of this with your when you talk to your clients?
Into inner child theory.
Yeah, that type of stuff. Mm-hmm.
Not directly. I do believe absolutely that we should be playful, that we should be joyful in life. I remember doing a meditation and asking my guides to give me more insight into my purpose. And the answer they gave me was joy. Mm-hmm. And also as someone with their sun in Capricorn and Virgo ascendant, and I'm very career focused, my work's very important to me, I was quite surprised by the answer, joy. And
that would be surprising as one Capricorn to the other.
Yeah, it just struck me. And of course, we're supposed to be joyful. Now, I'm really fortunate in that I'm very joyful in my work. I do what I love. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing for a living. And I wake up in the morning and I jump out of bed excited about my day and my work. So I'm very fortunate in that sense. But I do believe that we should be joyful. And I know from my work with different forms of metaphysics and looking at people's health, states of mind, well-being, that people that are joyful are healthier. It's the way we're meant to be. And I do believe that being joyful is a solution to many, many problems. We heal more easily when we're joyful. We enjoy life more. We're just more vibrant. We make a greater contribution. So for me, it's key. I do remember doing a very powerful exercise with a therapist once who told me to write with my left hand because I'm right-handed. And she said to me, your inner child will write through your left hand, your non-dominant hand. And it did.
And did it really? And you could read it?
Yeah, but it was. Well, obviously, when you're writing with your non-dominant hand, it looks childlike because it's not very neat. But the things it was saying were very childlike. And it was actually a very powerful experience. And she said to me, now ask your inner child where he is. And the answer was in the bedroom in North Wales. And it just really struck me that this being was saying that he was still in North Wales. And she said to me, ask him how he feels. And he said, scared and angry. And she said, ask him why he feels angry. And the answer was, because you left me here. And I made the connection that, in actual fact, I'd had a very difficult childhood, and I'd become very adult-like in my outlook and very serious in my way of life. And I realized that it was in that bedroom that I always used to see spirit as a child. Spirit would just manifest in my bedroom, and it was quite scary at times. And I realized that I'd gone on and lived my life in a very serious and very focused way, and I'd left him there. And
oh, wow.
She said to me, well, ask him what he wants. What would he like? And the answer was, I want to be in America. I want to play with Mutti. And Mutti's one of my cats. And so I realized that I'd left him there, and we went through this process of inviting him to come here. And it was a process that enabled me to, I think, embrace more of myself and to be silly and to have fun and be childlike and be more balanced. Because I speak to a lot of clients that are older, and they always say, you know, my body's older. The body does age because of it's physical, and it's in the physical, on the physical plane. The astral being is not on the physical plane. The astral being doesn't age with linear time as the physical body does. So the physical body atrophies, but the spirit within doesn't feel any different. And that's what older people say. You know, I don't feel any different than I did when I was 17. It's just the physical that ages because of the low vibration and density of the physical world. So that was my experience.
Yeah, you're into astrology a lot, especially like spiritual type, the hermetic type of astrology. Now, I know that there was at one time, and there's certain different charts out there. I've heard of inner child, you know, astrology and charts and stuff like that. Have you ever heard of that?
I have
come across that. I came across it once, and I just kind of, it was in passing, and I thought that is pretty fascinating. And I wonder, through your, you know, maybe your natal chart, if you could see who that could have been, where would it show up in the chart, do you think?
The inner child. Well, the natal chart shows so much. I mean, a natal chart, a progressed natal chart can be used for any analysis of a person and their psyche. So I sometimes even do analysis of progressed charts in criminal cases to help identify who would have committed a crime, or to help determine if a child was abused, because you can see in a chart whether a child was, how likely it was that a child would be abused. You can see potential illnesses or predisposition towards all kinds of things. So you see all parts of the psyche. What you don't see is the choices the person will make, because we do have free will and we navigate life by making choices. So you can see how playful a person is. You can see how a person reacts, cogitates, emotionalizes. I'm not aware that there's one point in the chart that shows us about that person's inner child. I think you have to look at the whole psyche.
You have to look at the whole thing and see what the predisposition would be for them to make choices, or if it came from their childhood, or...
Yes, you can see what's occurring in the psyche at different stages in life. So you can go back in time, you can regress a chart.
And you can go into their parents, and you can go into their mother and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, you can tell, you can see the dynamics between the parents in a person's chart. You can see the relationship that person has with each parent, with their children. You can see what's going on in the different parts of their lives and in key relationships now. You can see when a parent would pass or is likely to pass.
Interesting. So that would help you in all of that. Well, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Bobby, are you there? Do we have you with us, Bobby?
Yeah, I'm just listening away.
So what is your thought on all this stuff? What do you...
Nothing.
Have you ever...
Move on. Thank you.
Oh, come on. You can do better than that, Bobby. You talk ever about anything
you know,
like
I'm
this?
Not, I have experienced, I haven't done a lot of work on inner child, but I believe that the type of work that I help people do can lead them back to what's being referenced. In other words, it seems like there's a lot of association of inner child as self-love and really just self-worth and things like that, which is so, I think, so very important to children that they need to establish that. And if Steve's life and, you know, I think a lot of ours, I mean, I don't know, I guess I don't know about your all's childhood except for what you've said, but I mean, I, from what I've gathered or seem to understand is a lot of people who kind of get into self-discovery or get into this type of healing work went through a rough childhood. I mean, so all of us did, or, you know, one, we can't really gauge as to, oh, his was worse, because it was all kind of bad growing up. And I had no self-esteem and no self-love and that type of thing either. And I remember hearing at a very young age, you have to love yourself. But then there's always the question that follows, well, then how do you do that? How are you supposed to love yourself? So I think a lot of work, again, that we all do gets us back to a place where we can be open enough to have self-worth and speak up for ourselves. And I remember when I first heard about inner child, and I did a meditation that took me deep into that, and I ran into the same thing that Steve did, not anger, but the fear. And of being alone and that type of thing. So it can be...
It's not a good feeling, is it?
It's not. It freaked me out a little bit at first. Like, because the fear that I was feeling wasn't my own, if you understand. Like, in the mm-hmm. present, I'm not afraid. But when you get in touch with this little child, and then and then there's tons of fear there of scares, like losing your mom in the grocery store. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, you can't find your mom. And there's that fear that creeps over you, and it's not yours, but yet you know it is yours. You see, it's like a detachment away from it. It's just bizarre. It's an experience. I think if you kind of treat your inner child as separate from you, like a little child, like you're talking to yourself. If you could go back into time and talk to yourself as a little child, you would nurture, care, love for, tell it the things that you wish you were told. I think that helps tremendously. I also found a lot of healing just having children. So I recommend everybody else go and have a kid. It's incredibly healing because you get to pass down. I noticed so many things that remind me of when I was growing up. So now I'm hyper aware, and I try to teach them and give them those things that I didn't have growing up. And it helps me heal inside. So it's almost like a second chance, isn't it, in a way, if you look at it right. So there's so many ways to do the self-child therapy to where, you know, the inner child, to where you can, you know, love yourself and again, have self-worth, which I think it's really all about. And it's a matter of love and giving that love to others and not blaming, you know, stop the blaming, stop the pointing of fingers, you know, get over it. We all had really bad stuff. Stop blaming other people. We got to be done with that. You know, you got to stop blaming the parents. You got to stop blaming whoever else in your life right now. If you can't get past that, then it's really going to be difficult. I find, you know, the path is kind of filled with thorns if you can't let a lot of that go.
That's true. It's absolutely true. And you and it'll just keep coming up.
Always
keeps coming up.
That's one of those cycles that you never get rid of. You will always blame and you will always blame something else or someone else for what they've done to you or supposedly done to you or the situations that they put you in or they made me behave that way. And it's so much that you will never break out of that cycle. And as far as I'm concerned, it's one of the limitations that we carry around with us that can absolutely be let go of. And people
and it
find
can
that
block you
hard
from your success. It can literally block you from your success in life in many ways,
Absolutely.
And you know, you limit yourself, you give yourself excuses, you give yourself permission when you probably shouldn't have given yourself permission to do it, you know?
Right. And we look to be right. We want to be right about situations. So if something doesn't work out, I know this isn't going to work. I know they're not going to call me. I know this relationship isn't going to go anywhere. And then when it doesn't happen, we get to point to it and say, see, I told you. I just knew it, you know, and then we get to be right. Well, if we had all stopped trying to be so right all the time, we'd realize that, you know, it's a much easier path and less stressful path to live on.
And that part about being a parent, you know, it's that in itself, like the hypersensitivity. I mean, you try to be the best, but you can only be the best that you can be. You cannot, there's no book, there's nothing, there's nobody who's like the quote best parent in the world. You can only do the best that you can do. Don't you agree? It's like.
Well, absolutely. And you learn along the way. I tell people two things. One that, yeah, I mean, you get a bigger manual instruction booklet with your VCR than you do when you're sent home with your child. You know, you get nothing. And secondarily, I'm a great father because my dad wasn't. So I know through the contrast, plus I believe my abilities help me tune into my children more. So I can tell at a moment when they're a little bit more vulnerable. I know when to say, "You're right, sweetheart, come here," or "Listen, you need to do this. I know it's rough, but you need to stand up and let's go do this." You know what I mean? Like, there's a difference between coddling and helping and then not helping. And you have to know those exact times. Now, you can recognize those as parents anyway, because I believe all parents have some type of intuition. You just know when your kid's not feeling well. You just know when something's wrong, and it's more than just a tantrum.
Oh, yeah,
so
absolutely.
You can't say, well, it's easy for you guys because you guys are psychic, but that may be true to some degree, but everybody's got that intuitive knowingness when it comes to their children. So learn to listen to that more, follow that more, and getting in touch with your children as they are now will get you in touch with your inner child as you were. Like Steve said, it doesn't go anywhere. It never goes anywhere. It's always in the background, and it's always something that you can get in touch with right here and now.
That's for sure. That is definitely for sure. Okay, well, we have a caller for you, Bobby. You're first, from Tennessee.
I'd rather not. Who is it? Is it a child? Is it a kid? Or is it an adult?
Is it? It's Chucky.
No. Hi, who is this from Tennessee? Who's on the phone?
This is Elizabeth.
Oh, I'm sorry. Say it one more time.
Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. What would you like to talk about?
Okay, I've been dating my boyfriend probably like a year and a half now, and he keeps talking about marriage, but I honestly don't think that he will ask me. He said he's going to ask me around my birthday. That's in April. I'm just seeing if maybe you got some insight on that.
Okay. So what are you asking me, if he will or won't?
Yes.
You can't wait until April to find out.
No. Is he serious about it?
Oh my gosh. Okay. You know, if that's what you want to spend your time talking about, then okay. And you want to know if your boyfriend will ask you to marry you by April. Is that correct? I just want to understand the question.
Yep.
Okay. Yes, he will. I feel that he's sincere this time, and it's taken him a while to get up the courage. He was already going to ask you a couple of months ago, but he chickened out, and also something happened either with his job or a change in something I'm seeing that he something just made him back off at the last minute. So now he's waiting and building up momentum again, and I think he will ask you.
Awesome. Okay, cool.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.
That was very good insight, Bobby.
Yeah, I think we really went deep there.
Bobby, no, I want to get married.
I thought you were going to marry me. I thought you already asked. That's really rude, Steve, in front of this. I mean, everybody in the world is listening. Okay, I'm not talking to you.
I'm a bigamist.
A bigamist.
I'm here to say there's jail time.
Well, in my belief system, you can have more than one husband, but God, one is enough.
Oh, really?
Oh,
you can have some.
Yeah, we can.
Never mind. I'm gonna go to the boy toy. They're called BTs. Boy, never mind. I'm not gonna say. You know what I mean, Brenda? Don't you? Well, you know, I
want to give out the number in case somebody wants to call, and then we're gonna be committed here for a while. Okay, the number to call for readings is 724-444-4851. Okay, you were saying, Maureen?
Yeah, I went to the beauty parlor. No, you know, I wanted to say that with what the topic was tonight on the show, interviewing a guest, and I want to let everybody know that I'm a mess. No, I what I wanted to say was what Bobby was, you know, leaving off with about how he's made a conscious choice to reflect upon how he said his father did it differently with him. And so he's not going to do the same thing with his children. And what's fascinating to me is we all have that choice, and it's really frustrating to watch when people aren't self-aware of that. So they care, like I was talking about earlier, they carry on the dysfunction to their children, and their children will carry it on to them. But unless you make a conscious choice and it's our ego issue, we step back and say, this is wrong. I didn't like being treated or being told or being dismissed or whatever when I was a child. And if you're self-aware and you catch, you know, like Brenda, you say all of a sudden you catch yourself and you're your mother, right?
It's horrifying.
It's hard to, you know, suck it up with that too. But the thing of it is, it takes a lot of courage, but also you just release from that false ego and you'll be okay, because everybody just wants to keep everything in track. And that's why we have so many messed up people and the children that are, I mean, I watched it within my family. I'm not going to name any names.
But come on. We want names.
they don't even listen to my show after all these years. But some of my, they raise their kids. And the bottom line is I see what's going on. And I was a crazy kooky one. It was called names that would amount to nothing. And I think I did the best job, and proof's in the pudding with my daughter, really, because it is. And I also stepped back. If I had noticed I was doing something wrong, I would stop and tell her I was wrong. And not very many parents will be willing to do that, because they learned not to from when they were growing, you know, when their family, you know what I mean? It was something that was going on. So, you know, I just think that I'm Miss Mother of the Year. I'm joking.
Oh, you are. We have to give you an award.
No, I'm not Miss Mother of the Year. But you know what?
We'll have to give you a cabana boy. We've been talking about that lately. So
we have. I know. Really, they're pretty nice. Gee, I'm not going to go into it. God, don't start me. And there you have it.
Okay. Oh, you're going to run away on that one, Maureen?
You did.
Bobby, are you still there? Hello? I don't hear him.
I'm here. No, I'm here.
Well, what? Well, we won't talk about cabana boys with you. Oh, we have a question from chat. Okay, Steve, you want to take it?
Absolutely. What is the question? Let me look in. Let me see what the question
check
is.
Check it out.
So it's from Azza. The question is from Azza, right? Brenda, are you there?
Correct, Steve.
Yes.
Okay. So Azza's asking, let's see, I've come out of work after getting back on track after a long period not working. I've come out of work after getting back on track. After, I'm confused by that. I've come out of work. What does that mean? I've come out of work after getting back on track after a long period not working. Do you see me get... Oh, she's not working. And she's looking for work. Do you see me getting a job anytime soon? Or maybe back at Asda Walmart? Let me see. I feel as a that you're really... My guides are saying to me that your main interest is actually in people. I feel as though you need to be in a role that... is closely involved with people. Oh, you left your job. Thank you, Azza. Okay, so you've left your job and you're looking at what is next. Well, my guides say, Azza, that you're very interested in people and that you are very good with people. So I wouldn't really put you in a back office environment. I would put you in a role that is very much associated with people and people management, because you've got really good people skills and I feel that you handle them very well. So I feel for you, I would say human resources. That's what my guides point me to. And I feel that you will take a role in March, probably the end of March, but I would really encourage you to look at yourself, look at what your skills are. There's a great book out there called Astrology for Yourself, which is a brilliant workbook. It really helps you to understand who you are and your strengths. And also look at your personality type. I recommend for that the Enneagram. And I feel that those are tools that would really interest you, because you do have an interest in metaphysics and how people function, the psyche. And I feel that you'll go into the direction of human resources, but I feel that that will lead you further on towards more in-depth understanding of people, something on the lines of sociology, maybe counseling, psychology even. But that's what my guides say for you, and they say March for the new role. But I wish you lots of luck.
Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome. Sorry, I didn't quite understand the question at first, but
it was a little confusing. Yeah. It was a little confusing, but you know, when you were talking about, you had something that popped in there that I thought, wait a minute, we've never talked about that on a show before, and that's personality types. I bet that would be like cutting the pie in a lot of different pieces, wouldn't it?
It's critical. I don't know how, well, I do know how, unfortunately, most people live their lives not fully understanding themselves. We're born into the world with a predisposition towards a personality type, and it doesn't change.
Is that like the A-type personality and the B-type personality, or is that different types of personalities? What do you mean by that?
There are different systems. You can use Myers-Briggs to look at personality types. There are different tools. I really like the Enneagram because I find it very holistic and it integrates really well with astrological archetypes and other systems.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But it's a little like astrology in that... In the Enneagram, there are 9 personality types. And as in astrology, every sign of the zodiac is within you. Just as every planet in the solar system is represented within you. But you have different relationships with the planets and different relationships with each signs of the zodiac. And it's the same with personality types. So when you use a tool like the Enneagram, every personality type is within you, but you are far more focused on or predisposed towards one than others, one or two than others. And the problem people have is they don't really understand how they function, because we each have primary fears and primary drivers that steer all of our behaviors and choices and reactions in life and with others particularly. So we go into relationships without understanding ourselves.
That's very fascinating.
Get involved with somebody that another person doesn't understand themselves.
Then it's a real mess, right?
Absolutely. That's the same with children. Parents don't normally understand the psychology or the psyche of their children.
Ah, well, thank you. We're going to have a show on that. Find a guest. That would be fascinating.
I will. I'll find someone.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, Maureen, you have a call from California.
Yes, and I believe I'm a psychic. I know who this is. Hi, California.
Yes, it is.
It is you. And I like your username. Yes. Well, what's your name, really?
It's Keith.
Chief?
Keith.
Keith. Hi, Keith.
Yes.
And what would you like me to focus in on for you?
Well, this year has been a really rough year with one bad thing happening after another, from car accidents, losing car, losing jobs, all that kind of stuff. And I had been having dreams for months that something really big was about to happen, you know, very soon, by the end of October or November, and getting a job, and I got a job, and then it ended. And so nothing has come to fruition like I was thinking it would. Did I miss it? Did I mess it up, or did it not come?
I got it. I got what you're saying. But you just said something. I wanted to make sure I heard you correctly. Did you say you did get a job and then it didn't work out? Is that what you said?
Correct. Yes. Okay. Someone gave me a job. It was a part-time job that could have turned into something full-time, and then the person just vanished. So I'm assuming the job
is okay.
Is over.
That's a blessing. You know, the way I'm looking at this, that situation is, I know it's hard. I know it's easy for me to say, right? But, you know, it's almost like, in a way, there's always timing. It's all about timing. And the thing of it is, with this job situation, I see there would have been more havoc, and it wouldn't have been turning out as it should. I see a very positive, and it does look like in the month of November. Now, I could be off of my time frames, I'll be honest with you, but I do get it's in the month of November, so from now till this end of the month, so this block of time, I see a woman, a businesswoman with dark hair, who looks like, who's a really great woman too. Her energy is fantastic, and she's very smart, and I see her being very connected with some opportunity coming up, like I said, within the time frame I said in November. And I don't know who you were connected with this job that was a very temporary one, but I don't feel that would have, it wasn't right. It wasn't the timing for this, that job. It doesn't matter why it wasn't. It looked like it just wasn't good. I know that it sounds easy for me to say, like I know, but I feel very soon there's a woman, like I said, and she looks like a businesswoman, but anything she touches is successful, and she's a real authentic type too. So have you been a pursuing or going towards any other direction to make, like I did my show last week on deliberate attracting things that you want deliberately?
Well, I stopped doing what I was doing in the past to move towards what I had really come to this town to do. Mm-hmm. So I kind of put my foot down about not pursuing anything except for entertainment-wise,
right,
anything in that area, to really focus on that. So all my energy has gone out to that and pursuing something in that area that would make me happy.
Good, good. And I think that's good. And you do know that in that kind of situation, it's difficult as well. Anything.
Absolutely.
But the fact is, there is a very, like I said, this woman, I think you know of her as well. She is, okay. I mean, she has all these new ideas that's surrounding her. And it does appear to me that you may have tried, you know, I don't know, it's almost like I'm getting, like, last year, right before the turn of the new year, which was 2012, it looks like you were really doing something. You were doing the right thing. You were going about doing what you needed to do. There was a lost victory. Something went on. It was a bad timing for things with you. Everything was like, you know, I didn't used to think this way. It is about timing, my gosh. It really is. It's like little, you know, one moment you could just take something turns and just boom. It's just the timing is not, I don't like to say bad luck. It's just timing. And I don't feel that this is the same situation coming up for you this time. I think that's in the past. But like I said, I see you heading, in a direction. You know what is really interesting? I do see a very a male energy around you that is very draining, and he's very angry. I don't feel this is you. And you see, I get that you've really kind of put everything, emotionally speaking, because you're a deep person, and you're sensitive, and you feel with your heartfelt things are very intense. But I feel that you've done some work on some of those issues, okay? And you've released from some past things, and you've done very good, and the work, you call it the work, you know, you've done some good, great things. But it's really positive for you to be around people that were colored by our environment, you know, we are. But if there's somebody, but it looks like somebody maybe, I don't know how old you are, but it looks like maybe around your age, but who's angry, he's more mad. It's not healthy for you to be around those type of individuals. And you can make a conscious choice not to be. They're crazy makers, is what I call them.
Correct.
So I feel, you know, it's almost like I'm not, you know, the way I read is every negative can be a positive. And I also will tell people, listen, you can take this direction or this direction. I feel that what's going on with you is you've done things. You've worked on some things that have been pretty, like I was talking earlier, you know, it's hard to look at yourself, you know, and work it through. You've done that. And now you're moving along, and I see really positive things going on coming your way, even though if you can't see them and touch them so much, it's very close by, and it's not going to be like it was a year ago, where everything you worked so hard at, it was lost victory. It was not a victory, and that was very difficult. And you did everything, I think, right. It was just timing was off. So, like I said, I see a woman, and there's some new ideas. There's creative new ideas surrounding her. It's all about fertility, too. It's like fertility of new ideas. It's not – I'm not talking about relationship with – you know what I mean. It's more about opportunity.
Yeah.
So you're not doing anything wrong, Keith. Your dreams are just as they are, and I think your dreams are saying you see. Yes, you did work a short job, but that was it. And I don't think that you were supposed to work longer than it was in that, because I don't – it was what it was. I see real positive
good,
things.
It felt like a good opportunity to me, but it was and that could have gone somewhere really in a great direction. It just, you're right, didn't feel like it was working the right way.
Exactly, and it's okay. But I see not you have not to worry soon, and you're going to be fine.
I just don't want to lose my apartment.
You're not. I don't see you losing your apartment at all.
Okay,
you'll be fine, and it's real soon. So let us know. Come back and tell us how. And I know you're.
I sure will.
Okay, Keith. Well, thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye bye.
Thanks, Maureen. Okay, I have a call from Montreal. Hi, Montreal.
It's Shauna.
Hey, how are you doing? What can I do for you this evening?
Hi. All right, I'm good. How are you?
Hanging in there. Let's see what's going on in your life. You got a question?
Yeah. I've been kind of unlucky at work. I've been applying for different opportunities, but I haven't gotten any of them. And I've just applied for a new one that came through about a week ago. And I'm just wondering if you see me getting it.
Well, let's take a peek here. You know, there's a lot there. It feels like there's competition around this job. Are there a lot of people applying for this position?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I have to tell you honestly, there is a man who would like you to get this. I feel that there's someone with opportunity. You may at the last minute think, oh, I don't know if this is the right, you know, direction I want to go in. But I do see that there will be a new position for you. I'm just not sure this is the one. This is one that's coming up now, and you might have that decision at the very end that says, you know, I don't know if I'm going to apply for this, because what I see happening within about a 30-day cycle is a position that comes up that's really tailor-made to you, because there has been around you in the past a lot of things that have had kind of like snippets of things that you thought you would like to get, you know, involved in or do or progress. But all this stuff is leading to a really good position, and a position that you're going to go like, oh, wow, this is really, like, really, I've got the training. I know I can do a lot of good here. I also feel that there is a man in the background kind of guiding you, and he might even have some kind of pull or push to get you to that point, is what I see.
Yeah, that's so, probably my manager. But do you know what kind of job this has to do with? Because I was kind of interested in something else, because we have different departments that take care of different things.
Well, I do see you going to another department. I feel that it's going to be a leadership role. I feel that you'll have a couple people, perhaps even three people working under you. One of the things that I do see is that you're going to have to share your knowledge. So that tells me that it could be training, it could be teaching them something. I feel that it's more challenging than what you're doing now. It's a lot more challenging, and I feel that there's a lot more room for you to make decisions and have a little bit of more creativity with what you're doing.
I actually applied for a position that's called coaching, and that's kind of what you're describing, but I was declined for it. So
this may come around again, though. This type of thing may come around again. Is it outside of... Is it like in a different department? Would you have to move from where you're at?
Yeah, you move around a lot.
Yeah, this is coming up again. It feels like they may have hired somebody else, but I feel there's another position coming up where this person that they hired for it is not right for it.
Okay, do you see them like coming back to me, or am I going to have to apply for it again?
You know, it will come up again. I don't know how they post the jobs or how they let the employees know that there's going to be a job, but word will come within about a 30-day cycle, and it's time for you to step up again and reapply, is what I see.
Okay.
Really, and, you know, it feels like that.
I'm mostly interested in this because of, you know, my financial situation, and I'm just wondering, since that's tied in with it, when do you see my financial situation getting a bit better?
Well, it feels like an opening before the end of the year, which means that you're on track to make more money.
Okay.
Yeah, it does. It's nice to hear from you, my dear.
Yeah, it's nice hearing from you, too.
Okay, so there you go.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome, honey.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. Again, if you would like to call in for a reading, the number is 724-444-4851. And we have a call for Bobby from New York City. Bobby.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yeah, hi.
Okay, hi. Hi, who's this?
Margaret? Hi. I'm just wondering if Dan will write me.
Hi there. What would you like?
I can't really hear you. I'm just wondering if Dan will write me.
Actually, you're breaking up on me pretty good. What? Just try that question.
I'm just wondering if Dan will write me.
You're wondering if Dan will write to you?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not coming through. Brenda, can you hear me? All right.
You're breaking up a little bit.
I can hear you now.
Okay. Can you hear? Go ahead, Bobby. She wanted to know if Dan was going to write her. Bobby? Okay. Steve, you want to take over the call for Bobby? I think we lost him.
Yeah, Bobby's got some technical problems with his computer, I feel. Will Dan write to you? I feel that you will have contact with him, but I feel that you will write. I feel that you will email him and that he will respond. And I feel it's about 2 weeks out. But I mean, is this a romance connection? It feels like a romance connection, but it just doesn't feel like it's working. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I actually wrote him last month, but I haven't heard from him. So I'm wondering if he's going to ever write me. I mean,
he will write to you. I feel that you will email him again, and I feel that he will then respond. But I have to say to you, I don't get the feeling that the two of you will be together. And my guides are saying, I know from personal experience, it's hard when we have feelings for somebody and we write or we call and we don't get a response. It is very hurtful. I feel that he hasn't responded because he feels that that's the right way to handle the situation. And he feels for some reason that that's the right thing to do for you. So I feel that you will be in contact with him in 2 to 3 weeks, but I don't feel that you should set the expectation for yourself that the two of you will be together, because I don't feel that it's the right match. It's not that you've done anything wrong. It just isn't the right match for you. And I feel that you will meet somebody in April, end of April or May of next year. So it would be end of April or beginning of May. But I don't feel it's Dan. But as I said, I feel you will be in contact with Dan. But don't set
I mean, like, I haven't heard from him in, like, years. And I've been writing him off and on. He sort of wrote me back. I mean, I really care for this guy. Like, you know.
I know.
There was, like, something between us, like, years ago.
Yeah, and I can feel that. But I can... My guides are saying that you are still hurt. You're still struggling with this. And, you know, as you said, it's been a long time. And I do feel that you'll hear from him. I don't see you living the rest of your life and never having contact with him. But I don't feel he's the right connection, the right person for you to be with. And my guides are saying that
you're... Do you know if he's still married? Can I ask you that other question?
I can't take a second question, I'm afraid. We're only supposed to take one question per call.
All right.
But you can call myself or Bobby or Brenda, Maureen at Psychic Access, and we can look at it for you in more detail. But my guides just say, you know, don't invest your heart and soul in this situation, because it prevents you from magnetizing, attracting other things. This has been a long time. You will hear from him, but I don't feel you'll be together. And I don't feel inclined to say, you know, wait. You need to live your life. Life's happening now, and you're a wonderful girl. There are great opportunities for you, but you see, if we focus overly on one situation, we don't energetically magnetize other things that are on the horizon for us. So don't be stuck with this. Just recognize that you will hear from him, but you need to get on with life.
I need to hear something from him, because I haven't heard anything from him in like a long time.
Yeah, well, I feel that you will, but I don't feel that you should put your life on hold for this. I feel that you need to live your life and enjoy life. I don't feel he's the person for you, but I do feel that you'll have contact in future. And I don't feel that he's avoiding you in order to hurt you. He feels as though he's doing the right thing. So it feels like it's time for you to focus on yourself and your life and just trust that you'll hear from him in time. It feels like it's not too far away, but don't put life on hold, because life's
right.
Precious. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Thanks, Steve. That was very diplomatic. It's tough when things like this happen, you know? It really is. Okay. Maureen.
That's what they call me.
Maureen. I know. Isn't it hard when you get a call like that and it's like, you know, you can see it, but you know,
well,
sometimes
it's hard, Brenda, because I've been there. I've been in that situation where I have really strong feelings for someone, but it's not meant to be. And when you're in that moment, it's hard to see anything other than the fact that you have these feelings. And when you have those strong feelings for someone and you're not getting a response, even if that person feels it's the right thing for you to not respond and encourage you, it hurts, and we get really stuck.
And it absolutely does.
Some people get stuck for a long, long time, and it's not necessarily what they want to hear, but they have to move on and live their lives because life's too precious to put on hold.
That's true. Well, thank you, Steve. Okay, Maureen, you have a call from South Dakota.
Yes, I do. And hello, South Dakota. And who am I speaking to, please?
Rebecca Lynn.
Hi, Rebecca Lynn. Great name. Hi, yes. And what can I help you with?
Well, I've been divorced for now 10 years, and I'm feeling lost.
Okay.
I don't know where to go. Channel my energy here or go.
So you're at a crossroads after 10 years. Okay, I got it. I understand. I can feel. You know, this is a really, you know what's so interesting about what I'm getting here? Well, it's not interesting. You know, there's something I'm seeing. You've had a lot of intense stuff. Whatever went on, it's like you went through, it wasn't fair, but it happens. Things happen. Your experiences, it was difficult. It wasn't a very easygoing time, the divorce, whatever. And since that time, everything else. Okay, but now what I'm seeing you presently doing is, and, you know, I could be wrong, but it looks like you're picking back up on something that you loved, maybe even before you were married at all. You know, maybe when you were younger, like, you know, I don't know how old you were when you got married, but maybe before you got married, where you had a hobby of I see you being real creative and picking it back up and really loving it. You know how, you know, but I see you with your hands. I see you really into it. And it's something that your projects or something you would complete, but I see you getting back into it after many years of not doing so. And do you follow me in what I might be saying about what this might be?
I think so.
Okay. Well, you would know what I'm saying because it's very therapeutic. Not only that is, it looks like this would later, I see it would become a business or something that would bring you monetary, although you didn't get into it for that reason. And you're very connected to it. This is very positive because you have, you know what? You have an opportunity now. You don't know what to do. You don't know. Are you free to go and do whatever you want? Is all you're divorced, and for after all these years, you're healing. The healing's gone on. The scarring may be there, but are your children gone and you're free?
Yeah, that's what's creating some of my.
Well, this is what's fascinating, and I follow exactly what you're saying because you're not used to it. But this is your time, and it rightfully so. And there was a lot of unfairness in your past. It's in the past. There was a lot of unequal. Now is the time. You know, I even see in late spring you had there was more opportunity. I think your children would be very happy. And I see that you have so much, it looks, you know what, you've got so much great stuff ahead of you. I mean, I do see very attainable things. I do feel that you need to really be aware that you have strength available. You had a lot of strength available to get through the hardest of times. You have strength available to really go for it and go on about your business and your life. There's so much opportunity, and I see you attaining it because you make it happen. Don't be unfair to yourself right now because this is about you and your choices. Before, things were different, like I said, when you were, you know, stuff was going on. But now this is your time. You deserve it. I see. Are you looking for a relationship? Are you open to a relationship again?
Yes, I am.
I see, you know, the reason why I'm asking you is because I'm not saying that you have to have one, but I see also that coming into play. I don't see you partying so much. Is your ex, you know what? The pain has been, God, the intensity in your, it was so painful, the man that you were married, it's so painful. But I think that it's so intense. He's not a good person. And he may have been very awful to you. But I feel that you've gotten through this, and it will always be there with you. But I feel that it's time for you to go. It's time for you to move on, and you are going to do just great. And it's fair, and it's about time. And your children, I know exactly what you're feeling. I can identify with it. But this is the thing that's so odd. It's so unfamiliar to you.
Yeah.
This is, you know, it's time for you to.
I'm afraid to.
No, don't be afraid. There's so much good stuff I see. It's time to, you know, you're liberated. You've done a great, you did what you did, and you are free really to go for it. And your children would be very happy for you, and I really feel they love you a lot. And this is really, go for it. And you've got it going on. You've got some fear is okay. Change is okay, but you have nothing to fear as much as you did when you were going about things when you're married. You know, that stuff you endured, my God. It's time. It's time. It's like you're. It's like coming out of a spiritual death. You're coming up alive again. It's ready to go for it. You have so much out there. I do see a relationship too, very positive, mutually very caring. Not a lot of word talking, but very meaningful, very positive.
Two people that are in my life right now, and I'm torn between staying or going.
You know, it's interesting. I see two people. I see somebody, even if it's short-lived, it looks like it's a very meaningful. I do see another thing within the next 2 to 3 months. I could be off my timing. I see you connecting with somebody also that would work with you in the same type of creative work or partnership, as well as more than, you know, partnership in anything, in mm-hmm. matters of the heart and in work together. I see you doing some creative things. This person looks... Well, they both look very young for their age, but they're both very equal. But one is more, I can see, it, either one is very good. One is more, is they're both, you're getting caring, you're being cared for, and that's hard for you to accept because it's been not like that. but you're learning. I think there's another new one. Either one is good, but I do see maybe the second one I'm seeing here will be even more. It's almost like you're opening yourself up, and that's fantastic in itself. I mean, come on. There's so much going on here. You'll be fine. You're moving along, and you're going to be
doing the right things.
Exactly. This is your reading. You own it. Don't thank me for it. It's I'm just reminding you. Okay?
All right.
So go move, go toward and do your creative, whatever it is that you're doing. You have so much, and you deserve this. And you don't need to be feeling the hurt and feeling all that. You have strength available for yourself now. It's your time. It's your time, okay? That's the way it is. There's nothing selfish about it at all.
Okay.
Okay? Thank you for calling.
Yeah.
And I don't wish you luck. I know that you'll do well.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Maureen. Sure. That was very insightful. That really was.
Oh, thank you. What was her
good
reading?
Job. Well, I wanted to say for those of you who didn't have a chance to get a reading, or you would like a more in-depth reading, you can visit any one of the co-hosts of the show here on Psychic Access Talk Radio, or anybody else on psychicaccess.com by visiting us on psychicaccess.com, and we would love to hear from you. Okay, now that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. Thank you, Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer, and thank you to my co-hosts for joining me tonight. Next week's show will be anchored by Steve. Steve, what do you have in mind?
We've got a really great show. I'm so excited. We've got Christopher Gibson from the Church of Light. He is an amazing guy. He's got lots of character. He's real fun to talk with, but he has amazing knowledge about hermetics. And he could talk about all manner of subjects, but I want to discuss astrology with him. And I've asked him to talk with us about some of the astrological principles that are relevant to us as individuals, but also for us to discuss world events and how they appear to be unfolding astrologically. So specifically, I've asked him to analyze the US chart and Israel and Iran. So it's going to be very interesting.
Oh, that's going to be fascinating.
He's amazing. He's somebody we have to have back because he's just incredible.
Well, we're looking forward to that. Right, everybody?
Yes. Absolutely.
And we're going to say our goodbyes, and we're going to say our goodbye for Bobby, even though he's not here.
Oh, Bobby, I was going to do a Bobby, because he just made it like,
yes, this is
Bobby from California. Steve shows are always the best.
Oh, Bobby. There, he's come. He's joined us again.
Can I just say Skype is shite right now?
Okay, well, we're saying our goodbyes. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Night. Bless your hearts.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.